Am I on? All right. My wife always tells me on, off, then I turn it off. Coffee drinkers are weird people. I don't want to be hard, it's the truth. No, everyone but me. Oh, I made it through. All my brothers and sisters drank coffee. My parents made it through the military in Germany, freezing cold. I'd take out a big thing of hot chocolate and go steal milk out of the mess hall area and camp and out. And made it through seminary, made it through college. Drank a heck of a lot of Coke, but I didn't get into coffee. I love the smell. I love the smell of coffee, but just never got into it. Okay. Steve drinks coffee. By the pot. Well, we always see you carrying around. We're going to assume it's coffee. You'll never know. You'll never know. We might have to have a sniffer at the door sometime. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, how grateful we are for this assembly, the opportunity, the freedom to come together and worship you in spirit and in truth, Father. And we pray that all that we do will be glorifying to you. We pray that it will be in the name and power of your Son, the power of the Holy Spirit, Father. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's begin with song, Brian. Well, it's real good to see Brian back. I don't know why Julie isn't here, but Brian came, and the reason I say that is Thursday Dan and Pat Hill came in, and Friday night they met with Thursday night met with Brian and Julie to work on their computer for the church, and they came over, and Julie knew nothing about old time radio. So I introduced them to old time radio. That's why she's not here. Our preacher listens to all that stuff. Oh. Well, she had never heard anything, so I played her a little bit of Amos and Andy. I played her a little bit Amos and Andy, Figure McGee and Molly, and Mortimer Snerd, and Charlie McCarthy, and Edward Bergman, and the shadow, paint him some of the shadow. And they left the house. Boy, we're never going to that church again. So, but I'll tell you what, old time radio was good. Little kids, you didn't have a TV making it. You had to do it all up here. You had different places you sat in your room. And you remember that? Oh, all right. And you sit in different areas, and everybody had their own little corner, and you could study or read or sleep, listen to the radio. And I saw Superman jump in my head before I ever saw it do it on TV. And all that stuff, so it was cool. And some of them, they actually came out with radio or TV programs, and I was disappointed. They didn't look anything like what I had them up here looking like. So, but it was really good for the imagination. And you got to create the images in your head. So, okay. Let's talk about prayer. And the first point I want to talk about prayer is about Vic Edwards. Vic Edwards was moved to hospice. And they're thinking maybe today, tomorrow, he'll be home with the Lord. And Judith and Jim and Annelle and I are going to drive up this afternoon. And I'm in prayer of the Lord to keep him here until we get there and tell him we'll see him in heaven. And so just be in prayer for Cindy, be in prayer for the family, children, grandchildren. And Vic was a stronghold of the whole family. So let's be in prayer for Vic Edwards' family. And as far as Vic Edwards is concerned, he's gone to a much, much better place. So I'll be happy for him in that respect. Let's see. Oh, and today is his birthday, too. So today is his birthday. And so look forward to driving up and seeing Vic and Cindy and daughter and all. Okay, Lila called. Simonson called yesterday. And she made it back from Colorado. Had a really wonderful time. It's probably just the best thing in the world for her after losing her husband to be up in Colorado with some good friends. And she said, I was planning on being at church tomorrow, but just I realized that tomorrow is my sister's 95th birthday in Oklahoma City and thought I ought to go up and surprise her. And I said, well, I hope that doesn't shock her. And we laughed. But she's going to drive up and see her sister. But she wanted me to express her thanks to you, one, for the support in the service, both at the church and the military site. And also for the food that you paid for and the ladies bringing it over. And she said it was just so encouraging and it made a good impression on her family of the church. So that was really nice. Let's see, next will be Tish. All right, first of all, the poison, the snake bite. Are you through with that yet?
Well, it's better. It's a lot better.
But it's still there?
It's still swollen.
Still swollen. And if you stand on it, it's bad. Yeah, it swells up more. Well, then don't stand on it. Yeah. Have your son-in-law get you things.
They won't stay there.
They won't stay there long enough. Okay, then get your nephew to do it.
Well, Bobby, I keep Bobby hot.
Yeah, all right. And let's see. Brian, how you doing?
Good.
Have you heard anything from the doctors yet?
Oh, it
would be September. Okay, then I won't ask until September. All right. But we'll stay in prayer. All right. And let's see. Please continue to be in prayer for Don Becker. And let's see. We'll talk about the young people. We had about, what did we end up having, about 15 at the house Friday?
20.
20. About 20 young people over Friday night, and I'm sorry.
Four.
And they had a good time swimming and eating and just enjoying themselves. And very respectful, they didn't tear up the house, and they were very good. Let's see about the young people. I got several things I want to talk about. First of all, just be in prayer for the young people. They start back to school. It's going to be a whole new challenges. They went to camp and over at the house and got some good teaching and all. But, you know, when you start to school, we talked Friday night about you choosing your friends, not being chosen, and how important that was, and how iron sharpens iron and all. And so please be in prayer for them at school. Now, I tell you what, I just love this assembly. And the young people, we sent the most of any one church to camp. And just going to let you know that things are kind of shifting over as far as the guard. Chris and Laura Day are going to be doing the camp this next year, the summer camp. And he's also in charge of what we've now added, a winter camp. And so please be in prayer about the winter camp in regard to, we're going to do a winter camp. We don't know where. We don't know when, but we're going to do a winter camp. So please be in prayer about finding a facility where they can meet. And so just be in prayer that we find a place. We're looking at, I guess, Oklahoma and Texas, Lake Texoma.
The summer camp will definitely be on Texoma. The winter camp may be up in Oklahoma.
Oh, that's right. You've already got that one figured out.
We're looking for Rob's camp if it's available.
You're looking for it. Well, we'll get you a map and we'll find it. No, I know.
See if it's available.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, Chris Day kind of just grew up doing camps back when he was in the military and he had to leave. He'd go to a camp, right? Yeah. His father, and he just loved doing the camps and all kinds. He said there'd be days he never got out of the water. He stayed in the water area all day. And so I'm very proud, Chris and Laura Day, and thank you. And we'll be in prayer as he runs things, that they'll go smoothly and he'll be given wisdom. And so that's very
also,
important.
Terry's going to do the administration.
And Terry's going to be doing the administrative part.
That's been passed down.
Okay, that's part being passed down. So in other words, Dan and Pat are getting out of it. They're sneaking out of the whole deal.
We'll see how Pat handles that.
Yeah. So be in prayer for Chris, Lori, Terry, and they might be calling on some of you that to help them do some things, and hope that you'll help them out in whatever ways that we can. Let's talk about missions. Next Sunday, we're going to take up a mission for the Risleys. We've gotten some offerings from the Lila Simons or Harold Simons in service, and they, rather than flowers, put the Risleys down. And so we've gotten some of that. We'll take that, and then we'll add to that and send them some money. And they're just doing really, really good. So let's be in prayer for the missions in regard to the Risleys. In talking with Dan in Ghana, where Joe is. Oh, by the way, on the table back there, I hope you saw it, and feel free to pick up one of the newsletters of GMC and our GGM, I guess it is, Grace Gospel Missions. And they've got a new printer, so they're really proud of their new printer. And but it's got a lot of different stories in it. And Dan tells you a little bit of history about Liberia, and he shows you the. I will hold it up, but who's going to see it? Now, Doc, can you see that? But where we stayed, there was the Atlantic Ocean. And then a picture of Dan and I that I wished I could have censored. And then just some other pictures. And there's one in here, is how they sold the gasoline, I think I told you when I got back, and just jars, and you just drive in and they pour a jar of gas into your car. Well, there's the jars of gas was lined up. And then some of the people we worked with. In the background of this large picture is the building that we took up an offering for the roof. And they're just doing really, really good. And picture of Joe and his work. And Dan has the past chairman of his board is CPA, but he is in Ghana right now doing missions work. And he went up, Steve Arnold, and they went up to the village area, and with Joe and James. James is kind of the head man of all of that. In fact, let's see, I think the closest you're going to see of James is his feet on the back. So Dan just thought he'd take a picture of James's feet. And there's his feet and a little story about it. But they went into this village, and first thing that happened was the chief of the village. Now, you got to be very careful with villages in Africa. I don't care if it's very small. They have a chief. And you got to serve him well. But they were doing their ministry with the young people. And the chief came out and said, "What are y'all doing?" And Arnold said, "We are giving bringing the light to your village of the world and sharing them with Jesus Christ." And the chief said, "All right, I want to know about that. And then if you'll come back Friday," which been just this last Friday, "I will ring the bell." Each of these villages have a bell. And if there's a fire or a town meeting or anything important, they ring the bell. And if they're out in the fields working and all, they come in. And he was going to bring in the whole community of the village, or the large village, and have them hear the gospel. Have not heard how that went yet, but just be in prayer. And so Steve was there, and a man came up and said, Isaac. He came up and he said, "What are you telling the people? Can you tell me?" And he'd given away all of his coins and pamphlets, and the only thing he had was one of those bracelets. So he took his bracelet off, gave him the gospel, let him have the bracelet. He accepted Christ right there. Steve called his wife in Tulsa and told her that he's led at least 100 people to the Lord and just being there. And so she said, "Well, when are you going to find us a place to live there?" And he said, "What?" And she said, I'm half serious. Let's move there. And we're not dependent on our jobs any longer. So be in prayer for Steve and making that decision. His son is over there also. Well, his son does, when he went to camp, his son does the music. And so they're very much into the work and serving the Lord. So I encourage you, pick up one of these and just read through. And it just got so many really good stories. Got a good picture of Joe, who's just doing a tremendous job. He runs the school. He does it twice to two different groups every day that they do that. So just different pictures, and you'll enjoy and get a good grip on missions by reading that. And they're out on the table out there. Did anybody pick up one? Good grief! What y'all think that table's for? Come on, let's pick them up. So, all right. So please be in prayer about our missions in Africa, Mexico, the Philippines, and just see if God continues to use our assembly and being a part of all of these wonderful things going on. Please be in prayer for our own church. Our offerings are down. Just going to tell you that. The offerings are down. And get down much further, we'll have a church meeting. But please just be aware of that. Please be aware, and please be in prayer for John and Dan. Let's see, Dan's already teaching. John didn't, he hadn't even started. So we can be in prayer for John and his teaching. So any other prayer requests that I didn't hit? Anything we need to be in prayer about? Judith has a very good friend named Sharon. We prayed for her before. And she's getting very close to maybe going home to the Lord. And so please be in prayer for Sharon, and spends a lot of time alone, and so just be in prayer for her. Let's see. I guess that's it, unless anybody has any other prayer request. The Word of God declares, "Whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver." Gracious giver is defined as one who has personally accepted Christ as Savior and knows how to be filled with the Spirit by faith. That's so crucial. You do so many things for God and do it in the flesh, it's wood and stubble. It's the easiest way I know how to put it. You can do things, be in the power of the Spirit, and it's gold, silver, and precious stones. So with this in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offering. Heavenly Father, it's very difficult for us to come to this facet of worship without remembering the two great spheres of freedom that cross each other for this to occur. The political, economic freedom that we enjoy in this country. Father, we've gone to countries in Africa where they just don't have any money. No jobs. There are places in the world where they're not allowed to meet and to assemble a Christian assembly. So we value this freedom. We value it very much. We pray that it is not in danger of being taken away from us. Father, we appreciate the service of the military personnel who have provided this freedom throughout the history of our country. But you can have, Heavenly Father, we know you can have an army of lions, but if they're led by a sheep, you have nothing. We have a great military service. But we're in fervent prayer for our leadership. Because that military power is of no value if the leadership is backing off. Father, we do thank you for the freedom we have enjoyed and are enjoying right now in this country. A valuable political, economic freedom. But Father, we cross out with the spiritual freedom we have in Jesus Christ due to the resurrection. A freedom, Heavenly Father, that shows us how to use our political, economic freedom. Sheds a light on it, turns a light on it, where to live, whom to marry, and where to go to church and why. What to do with our money and our time and why. So Father, we pray now that your Spirit will guide us in our giving. Our offerings are down. If we love this assembly, we love the things that you're allowing us to do with the young people, the missions, and assembly here. We pray, Father, that you will prosper us, that we can continue doing these things, Father. And now we pray that you'll receive the offerings that we give now, and that you will use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Before we sing our next song, two things I did neglect. First of all, in regard to prayer, Romeo asked us to be in prayer and be in prayer for Orlando. And Orlando may be moving back to this area and listening to some of our lessons. So let's be in prayer for Orlando. Fill up maybe a chair or two. And then, we're a small church, as you know. Now, when I did the service for Harold Simonson over at Prestonwood in that chapel, it's the first time I told him, I said, this is the first time I've ever had a rehearsal for a funeral. And they said, oh, this isn't a rehearsal. And I said, well, I'm sure Harold's glad of that. But we met with a guy, and he went over everything. And I got to thinking while I was sitting there, Herman, you've changed your attitude. This church has thousands of people, and thousands, 10,000 people. And I'm sure that just to get a funeral service or anything done, they've got to get it coordinated. And so I appreciated the man that was appointed he works for the church, and his job is to make sure the funeral goes well, everybody knows what they're doing, and all that type of thing. And so it's quite an organization. When you have that big organization, you've got to, you can't just depend on Steve and a couple of men to move tables on Wednesday night and move them back up or put them back up on Sunday morning. And but so we're not that organized in respect of who's going to be responsible for the tables, who's going to do this, who's going to do that. So sometimes things get left off and not done. And so we've got a supplies sheet, and we'll put it back up here in the little kitchen area. And if you realize or see that something needs to be taken care of, and hopefully it's not while you're in the John that you realize we need some TP, but I didn't know how else to word it. And but on the days that we eat, if we're getting low on things, you just, this will be there, and you can put sign a need now, and then put a check. We need this. Doesn't mean you have to do anything, just let us know at least. And then who's going to get it? And then the date that you put, that you'll volunteer to take care of that. Like, talking about a coffee drinker, Wesley's a coffee drinker, so he's already let us know we need coffee. And he said, I'll get it. And put the date down. So this will help us keep up everything, paper products, food products, miscellaneous products, trash liners, and so these kind of things will just help us in being organized without having to have a person who's special for that and for that, and just continue. I'm very proud of our cleaning crew. Apparently, whoever does that now, Terry, does Terry still do that? And everybody? Well, whoever organizes that, that's very good. It's still good. It's kind of clean. Come in here. So, but I want to make you aware of the prayer request for Lando, and who may be moving to Allen, and be in prayer, or be aware of the sign-up sheet. Let's sing.
Oh.
One of the truly most significant and blessing in being married is that my wife and I pray together. And you think about the verse where two or more are gathered, I just wonder if he's heard my prayers all those years I've been single. But it is just, it is just a real blessing to have someone to pray with every night and then during the day. And I'm just most thankful to God for that. And I hope that if you're married, that you pray with each other. And if you're not married, well, just hope he answers our prayers when we were single. The dog scout. Two or more. If you teach him how to sit up on the bed. Oh, I didn't even have a dog. So, but I hope that you are in prayer. I really seem to only touch on prayer when it comes up somewhere in a passage. But I do hope that you will remember prayer. It's so powerful. And pray in the power of His Spirit. Be led of His Spirit. And not what you want, but what's in His will for His glory. Okay, let's open the Scriptures to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. This is a difficult section, and especially chapters 2, 3, and maybe a little bit of 4, because most of you know these things. But Julie told me how many people tap into our website. Just got to remember, a lot of people may not know these things, and it's good for us to be reminded of them. So let's begin with a word of prayer, that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes on the passages we're looking at and understand why they're there, what's being said. So let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Scriptures that open up why we need salvation, what salvation is, how we obtain it, why Jesus Christ had to be both God and man. We pray, Father, that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that we're going to look at this morning in regard to this whole issue that so few seem to understand anymore in our society, where righteousness, unrighteousness, sin, just isn't part of our society. There may be some churches that talk about it, some legalistic, some in truth. So I pray, Father, that you'll guide us as we study through these things. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, in chapter 3, we studied from verse 10 through 18 all the various aspects of sin and total depravity. And I want to study a doctrine on total depravity before we leave chapter 3. Because understanding total depravity is part of understanding why God became man. Got to understand that. This is why a lot of people aren't running to Jesus Christ for salvation. They don't understand total depravity. They think we can do it. That's one of the things we're going to see with the law. You can't do it. You're depraved. And it's difficult to get people to understand that we are just as bad as Hitler, just picking him as one of the worst people we can imagine on earth. And indeed he was one of the worst as far as the caliber and the depth of his sin. But people, until you see yourself that way, oh, I would never do that to Jews. I would never do that to people. Yes, you would. Yes, you would. Got to understand, we're all under total depravity. And we kid ourselves. I would never be a homosexual. I would never be a lesbian. That's just totally disgusting. People, you've got to understand total depravity, your depth in it. And stop judging others or this and that. In that sense, this is where we all are. And that's why God became man and died on a cross. And so we're going to have to take a look at that and several other doctrines before we finish this chapter. But let's look at verses 19 and 20 that we started last week. 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks jurisdictionally and judicially, those who are under the jurisdiction of the law, that every mouth may be closed as to defense against the wrath of God. I don't deserve the wrath of God. I don't believe the wrath of God. I don't like the wrath of God. So I'm just not going to say, I'm just going to say it doesn't exist. People, it exists. We hear so many people, well, everybody's going to get there, and it's going to be, God wouldn't do that. God's loving. People, He's also a righteous God. You can't just push that aside. Well, I don't want to deal with that. I just want to deal with His love. His love solved the problem. The problem's there. He's a righteous God. Whether we like that or not, He is. And in truth, we like it. That's why He sent His Son. All right? And all the world may become accountable to God. And we took last week understanding how, since the law was given to the Jews, all become accountable. And now note the very important because. Because, why are we all accountable to God? Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified, vindicated in His sight. Then you have the conclusion. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Not the solution of the problem, but the knowledge of sin. We're going to deal with some of those particles and prepositions in a few moments. Okay, because of the law, the works of the law, no flesh will be justified, vindicated in His sight. Now, first thing I want you to know in this passage is the verb, justified. It's the future judgment seat of Christ, great white throne judgment, passive, indicative of dikaioo, and I'm putting it on the board. This is one of those words we can learn something from. I don't put a lot of Greek or Hebrew words on unless there's something we can grasp from it. So let's look at dikaioo. All right, and dikaioo. Now that's D I K A I O, and then a long O. Dikaioo. Okay. It means just. It means righteous. It means to justify. Now here's something interesting about this word. Greek words that end in the double O. Greek words that end in the double O generally indicate bringing out that which a person is. When you have that in the Greek, it generally is used to bring out what a person is, or that which is desired. It's right out of a grammar book. But not usually referring, in most cases, especially in the Bible, not usually referring to the mode in which they arrive at that state of being. Not usually denoting how they arrive or obtain that which they want, the action involved. In case of dikaioo, in the case of this word, it means to bring out the fact that a person is righteous, justified, or is not righteous and not justified, whichever the case may be. Now, classical Greek. I don't flaunt that either, but here's where we can learn something from it. In comparing classical Greek with the biblical Greek, so let's take learn something from going on here. I have two big books, big book like this. It's about this thick, about like that. And it's classical Greek. My biblical Greek dictionary or lexicon is just maybe like that, and it deals with the Bible. Sometimes I like to go over, see what the classical Greek did with that word. Okay, in classical Greek, it means to make one righteous by permitting someone who has committed a crime or wrong to bear for himself the judgment, condemnation, or punishment. That's when this word is used in classical Greek. It means to allow someone, you've done something wrong, so you go to prison and you pay it up, and then you get out and it's over. It's paid for. That's in classical Greek. It never occurs in the Bible where one is justified by doing something himself. It's a good place to see the difference. in classical Greek, you were justified when you paid the penalty, paid the money, served the time, whatever the case may be. But it's never used that way in the Bible, where someone is justified by something he does, paying a penalty, financially, jail, even with his own life, whatever it may be. In the Bible, spiritual justification comes by what? By grace. It is by grace. You do not earn it. You do not deserve it. You cannot get it any other way than by grace. You cannot. We're born into the world in sin, under condemnation, total depravity, and have the total inability of justifying ourselves. That's what total depravity means in those, all those verses we studied. Incapable of bringing about your own justification. You can read those things and say, well, I'm going to work. I'm going to work on my tongue. Because remember, we studied how the tongue is bad. I'm going to work on my mouth. I'm going to work on my feet. I'm going to work on it. People, you can't be good enough. You can work on those things and work on them and work on them. You're not going to make it. We're under total depravity. We're depraved. And out of a depraved thing is not going to become something that is righteous. It's like out of an orange is not going to come a lemon. Out of a lemon is not going to become a banana. It can only produce what it itself is. We're totally depraved. No matter how good we are, what does the Bible say? Our righteousness is what? Filthy rags. That's all that can come out of it. And that's our best. Our best is filthy rags. Now can you imagine what our worst is? Not very good. I think we're all old enough. Our righteousness is as menstrual cloths. That's pretty disgusting. And people, that's our best. That's the way God looks at our very best. That's the way God looks at us giving money out of the filling of the Spirit, witnessing, out of the, helping someone a way in life, helping a family member, helping a friend in the flesh. Filthy rags, menstrual cloths. It's nothing. So we can imagine what our sins are to Him. If our best is that. So this word is very important to understand as far as the Scripture is concerned. When one believes in Jesus Christ, God imputes, and we're going to look at imputation. Got a lot of things we've got to look at here. His own righteousness to the sinner. And then when He imputes that righteousness to us, He looks at us and says, justified. That's the order. So you start off, we are unrighteous. We are under total depravity. There's nothing we can do, but when we, by faith, in Jesus Christ, we are imputed with God's perfect righteousness. Then God looks at that perfect righteousness that He gave us and says, justified. And there's the pattern. Very simply stated, there's the pattern of our life in being saved. This is clearly seen by this verse and this word, really. Let's note a few things. One, justification. We just don't really think in these terms anymore. We've got to learn to think, and if you want to understand the gospel, justification, the remission of sins, and absolution from both guilt and punishment. We're absolved of both guilt and punishment. That God pronounced against everyone born into the human race. And God pardons and accepts him or her as righteous because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The rest of the points aren't that long. Two, because God the Father is propitiated, satisfied, That is, his righteousness and justice are satisfied, his holiness, by the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because God the Father is propitiated, satisfied, that is, propitiated means that his righteousness and his holiness are satisfied by the person and work of Christ on the cross, we are justified. That's why Christ had to come. When I do a funeral, even a funeral at the Baptist Church for Harold Sal, I like to point, why this Jesus Christ? Because in our society, we don't live in a society that a lot of us grew up in. Well, what's so important about Jesus? What's wrong with Muhammad or Buddha or just something else, whatever it may be? I'd like to point out, why Jesus? Why are you Christians so adamant about this Jesus? And you say, hey, anybody that doesn't believe in him is going to go to hell. How can you say that? What's so special about him? Because he's the only one sent by God to take care of the sins of the world. See, our objective is relationship with God. Cannot be done because we are unrighteous. We are total depraved. He is total righteousness. So there's the problem. So in order for us to be saved, nothing we can do. We're a total depravity. So the only thing that can happen is he has to send his son. Remember the first important thing about spiritual love. The most important thing about spiritual love is that spiritual love observes. A husband observes his wife. A wife observes her husband. Parents observe their children, friends, whatever. First thing you want to learn about love is that it observes. And it sees a need and it meets that need. Sees a problem and meets that problem. So God saw the problem. Here we are, his created beings. He wants to have fellowship with us. We're under total depravity by sin, penalty of sin. Nothing we can do about it. He sees the need, so he says, okay, how can I get them to be righteous? Satan makes it very clear, nothing you can do, God. They are unrighteous, they are impure, they are unclean, and there's nothing you can do about it. They can't do anything about it, you can't. And God said, yes, I can. And I'm just making human qualities of God here. He looked at the problem and said, okay, I know what I can do. If my son goes down, becomes a human, and dies on a cross, bearing the penalty of all the sins of the world, that does it. All they have to do then is believe in my son. So that's what he's done. 3, justification is ours by faith alone, in Christ alone. Nothing we can do. 4, the result of justification, don't write out the whole word, put a large capital J with a small s, the result of justification is peace between God and the believer. That's the result. And people, you can never lose that peace. You're in. You're locked in. Even if you don't like it, you're locked in. Somebody says, well, I don't want to be saved. I believed in Jesus Christ when I was a kid, but I don't want it now. I don't believe in all that. I don't want it. Sorry, you're going to be in heaven. Sorry. I really feel sorry for you. But you're going to be there. Even if you don't want to be there, you're going to be there. You can't get out. I deny God. I deny Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. Nothing to do about it. You are justified. That's your state of existence. Remember the O-O? That's your state of existence. Nothing you can do about it. So 5, the basis of justification, imputation of God's righteousness. 4, the result of justification is peace between God and the believer. 5, the basis of justification is imputation of God's righteousness. Not because of anything you do. You can't do it. And some people have a problem with that because they think they're pretty good. Most of us, yeah, I know I'm a rat. I know that. So, a lot of people don't have problems. There are a few people that do. Alright, 6. Because we have the righteousness of God imputed to us, God now declares us justified before Him. That is, before His righteousness. See, He's looking for a righteousness that looks like His. So here is God's perfect righteousness. Here is man's self-righteousness, which is unrighteousness. No righteousness at all. Now, what we have to do to be saved, we've got to change his unrighteousness to his righteousness. We've got to change that minus R, go back to math, minus R to a plus R. Question, how? How can I change that minus to a plus? When every time I do a good work, well, I get an R, but there's a minus in front of it. I get an R, but there's a minus in front of it. I'm real good. Oh, you get an R today, but there's a minus in front of it. I did 10 D's today. Well, you get 10 of these. Or, still minuses. And when you add it all up, if you remember math, it still comes out to a minus. Whatever number you have here, it's a minus. There's nothing here that's going to change that to a plus. And in order to be saved, we've got to change that minus R to a plus R. Cannot do it. What am I going to do? All right. God said, if you will believe by faith alone in my Son, Jesus Christ, his work on the cross, I will change that minus R to a plus R. I will give you justification. First of all, I will impute my righteousness just by you believing on my Son. And then you're justified. And once you're justified, you're in relationship with me. All right, let's look at our text. No flesh will be justified in his sight. Okay? Future, passive. Future tense. When anyone tries to be justified before God by keeping and doing and performing the law. No flesh will be justified. Passive voice. You know the passive voice now. The voice receives the action of the verb. No flesh will receive justification by his works, by the law, by doing the law. None. Not one. Before him. Okay, what does this mean? This refers, before him, refers to the last judgment. Revelation 20, 12 and following. The great white throne judgment. All unbelievers will not be justified on the basis of good works. Instead, he will stand before God, standing on his own good works, and it is pitted against the good works of Jesus Christ on the cross. So, if it's like the old scale of justice on this side, boy, you put all your good works, man, it just takes it down. Whew! Drops that weight all the way to the base. Then over here, he puts on the work of his Son, and it's all over. You don't compare. So, you're out. So, that's the before him. No flesh will be, can be, justified before him. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will receive being justified in his sight or before him. That's the way we want to read that verse. Now, the point is that there is nothing any member of the human race can do to be justified. I guess I've said that enough. If you don't believe it, my saying it 20 more times isn't going to help. But if you believe it, I don't need to say it 20 more times, but I probably will. Alright. Now, point is, the point of Romans, that no one is justified before God, receives justification from God, except by faith in Christ alone. Let's look at verse 20. Because by works of the law, no flesh will be justified, vindicated in his sight. Okay. Since no one can be justified by performance of the law, doing the law, obeying the law, then why? Why did God give the law? If I can't be saved by it? See, the thinking of man is, God, you gave the law. And you gave it, you meant for us to obey it. Now, when we're children, we always don't make that connection with what our parents tell us to do. But when we grow up and we start reasoning through things, gave the law, you expected us to keep it, to obey it, do what the law demands. And why do we do that? Basic instinct of man, not sex, basic instinct of man, performance. I perform and am rewarded. So I like this deal. Just tell me what I have to do to be saved. Tell me what I have to do. What works I have to perform. And this is why so many reject grace. This is why God gave us a law. We do it. But if that doesn't save us, then what's it all about? For through the law, the last part, for through the law, comes the knowledge of sin. Wow. That's why he gave the law. So that I would have knowledge of how inadequate I am, how unrighteous I am, how I cannot even keep one of those 10, much less counting the 1,200 more. 10's just a big 10, but he's got 1,200 more in there. To understand this particle gar, the particle here for, and we're going to have some fun here, so you got to think, remember, this in the spirit, this isn't a class on English or literature, this is a class on the Holy Spirit's teaching in the Word. But we have a particle, gar, that's G-A-R. And the best way to understand this particle, as I was working through, how can I get all of this together? And so let's take a look at the flow of verses 19 and 20. They are so perfect, so wonderful, put together. We're going to see a flow of these two verses, and we're going to take it up into six different particles used. And just going to go through it and develop these with you. So let's take a look at these 10 particles and just see how the passage flows when we take it 2 or 3 weeks to do it. Oh, I've got it smudged up. Let me see here. Well, I put it up to 26 font, but that still didn't do very much. But maybe you can follow through a little bit. I don't know why that isn't working out. Oh, good. Yeah, that helps. I don't want to move that too much because it'll rub it off. I didn't know it would do that. But let's see if we can work through with that. This would have been better when the PowerPoint, but I've gotten it out for this one sheet anyway. All right. Now that, because, by, for, through, and every one of those words are different particles. Every one of them. So let's take a look. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. In order that every mouth may be closed, and all the world may become accountable to God. Because how do we become accountable to God? Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. That's why we have the law. This whole thing is about this last clause, for through the law. Now, don't want to burden you with this, but just so we get it down, let's take a look at the first part here. This first one. Now, that's day. D-E in Greek. D-E. This introduces the result or purpose of the previous discussion on how everyone is under total depravity, verses 10 through 18. So you got those 10 through 18 explaining how we're all sinners. Now, in view, this day here says, in view of what has been said, everyone must understand his total depravity and what it means. So we have now. Now we know. We've gone through our... Well, we fit every one of those things that we just studied. We're all sinners. I know I probably should read... Let's just quickly look at 10 through, you see. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Pow! That says it. There is none who understands. Pow! There is none who seeks for God. All have sinned. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. Well, I do good. No, you don't. That's what you got to understand. There's none. There's not even one. Their throat is an open grave. Wow. With their tongues, they keep deceiving. The poison of asp is under their lips. And this is all from the Old Testament. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, means the way they walk. And the path of peace have they not even known. There is none, not one, fear of God, no fear of God before their eyes. Now, in light of all of that, that's what that now means, in light of all of that. Now, come down to this. See, now, We know because of all we just studied, whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. I'm under the law. I'm a sinner. Now we have another one. This is a great passage for study. This is Henna. H-I-N-A. Henna. All of these are going to be different. Henna. Henna. In order that. For the purpose that. Okay? Why do we all know that we're under the law? For this purpose. Every mouth be closed. And all the world may become accountable to God. Now, what does it mean the mouth be closed? You have no defense. You have no No, wait a minute, God. I'm pretty good. No, you're a sinner. You have no defense against the wrath of God. There's nothing you can say. Forget it. You're closed. Your case is closed. You have no objections here that stand. Okay? That. Then the next one. Because. Because is dioti. D-I-O-T-I. Dioti. Because. And if I were you, just put a underline under each of these particles in your text so that you can see how this flows. Now, this is made up of dia and hati. And it says, on account of this, on account of this, or for this reason, okay? So that's the because, and it's for this reason. Now we have the next one. This is, see that by? That's another one. That's ek. Because, for this reason, out from the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. See, that's what we got going now. Then we have gar. See this right here? That's gar, G-A-R. Gar, reason. It's the whole basis of all of this. And then we have through, that is dia. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So let's see if we can just read this now with all of this in mind and show you how beautifully these two verses flow. Follow with me now. Now, because of all those things we just heard, now we know whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. Okay? You want to argue you're not under the law. That every mouth may be closed and all the world be accountable to God. Well, I guess that makes me under the law. Even though it was given to the Jews, I'm under it. Because by the works of the law, why am I accountable to God? Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. Wow. For through the law, why was the law even given? For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So that makes these two verses just flow so well with us. All right? Now, one reason that more and more people in our society, in America, don't know that much about the world, but in America, especially our young people, are having trouble with this whole issue of salvation. Why the cross? Why the God-man? Why salvation at all? Why do we need to be saved? What's that all about? I just don't want to deal with God. I don't want to deal with that. I don't understand all that. I want to tell you why we have trouble thinking this way. Because fewer and fewer people, young people, but preachers in churches and teachers, do not understand the issue of the righteousness of God. They do not understand it. We don't demand it. We don't understand this kind of teaching, the righteousness of God. Why God? Why He has to become man? Why the cross? See, a lot of teachers teach the reason for the cross was to show us how to be good, how we ought to live with each other, help each other. Even if you do that for each other. And they miss this whole understanding of what we're looking at. The righteousness of God, the unrighteousness of man, the inability of man to produce the righteousness of God, and then the Son of God coming and dying on a cross. This type of thinking just isn't presented that much. That many ways, that many places. Just is against our whole flow of thinking in our society. We are evolutionary products. We are to be fed and taken care of just like evolutionary products. And when we die, it's all over. Just like with animals. You take care of them, you feed them, they die, it's over. And that's what we're being taught we are. We're evolutionary products. There's nothing special about our human spirit, nothing special about our soul, nothing special about us at all. We just need to be taken care of, and that's where we're going in our society, and that's where this whole Marxist, communistic, socialistic philosophy is founded upon. We just need to be taken care of. I'm not a special person. I really don't have the ability to make decisions for myself. So freedom is an illusion. You don't really need it, because we're going to take care of you. We're going to just take care of all your needs. And whatever way you want to satisfy them sexually, that's fine. You want to do homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, whatever you want, that's fine. Just, it's good for you. It works for you. But we're going to take care of all these other things. We'll take care of your health, take care of your feeding, take care of all of this. And many people are buying into this stuff. They don't understand that we're a unique being. We're a human being with a body and a soul. We acquire a spirit of faith in Christ. This just isn't taught. Certainly isn't taught in our education system, unless you're in a private school of some. But in most cases, it's not even taught. They're not taught all of these things that we're talking about here. Why do we need to be saved at all? So all of these things are not understood. So let's take a little summary here. Not anything major, but a little one. Point one. The entire world of mankind, Jews, Gentiles, we are all subject to the righteousness of God. Now, what did we just study in those passages preceding this, 10 to 18? They don't seek God. They don't understand. And that describes our society. Go back, you just study verses 10 through 18, you learn a lot about our society. They do not seek God. They do not understand. They don't understand why all of this is going on. So the entire world of mankind, Jew and Gentiles, are subject to the righteousness of God. People, give thanks for His love. Pursue His love. Abide in His love. But don't forget, He is a righteous God. And that was taken care of at the cross. That's why we don't have to think about it after we're saved. But you got to understand what's going on. The only hope for being true. God has always been perfect righteousness. He's always been. Take somewhere we haven't been for a while. Probably never in this sense. Let's look at Exodus 15:11. I'll give it to you so you can write it down. Exodus 15:11. Now let's open the scriptures to Exodus 15:11. Exodus 15, verse 11. Who is like thee, God? Among the gods, small g, O Lord, who is like thee, majestic, means primarily in holiness. His holiness is made up of His righteousness and His justice. Who is like thee? You think of God. You think of God in His holiness. Then you think of Him in His love. Awesome in praises. Working wonders. Working wonders? What is the working wonders? The wonders on how there's nothing we can do to equal that righteousness. Nothing we can do to justify ourselves. And yet He does wonders. He works wonders. What are His wonders? He sent His Son to die on a cross on this earth, taking the judgment of all of our sins, providing the way where we can be justified. That's wonders. That's wonders. If you have nothing else to pray and thank God for, you can thank Him for His wonders of the cross. His wonders of your salvation. There's nothing I could do to bring out my salvation, but You did it all. I praise You for the wonders that You have worked, that I might have everlasting life with You. Let's look at Exodus 19. Now, you can write it down. We're going to look at Exodus 19, 10 through 16. Exodus 19, 10 through 16. The Lord also said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments. Let them be ready for the third day." Now, I'm not here to study this passage, but if you just look at everything, consecrate, God consecrates all believers to His own service today and tomorrow, all of our life, and wash your garment. Washing is a picture of washing off the sin that happened at the cross so that you're clean before Him. And let them be ready for the third day. What's the third day? That's the resurrection. The resurrection. That's the basis of our salvation. Our life. For the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, "Beware that you do not go up on the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death." And I don't think you want to try that out. I wonder if he really means that. Just, there's the base of this mountain. I'm just put my toe on there. Boop, you're gone. Alright, verse 13. "No hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether beast or man. He shall not live. When the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain." So Moses went down from the mountain to the people, consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. And he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman." So it came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there was thunder and lightning, flashes and thick cloud about upon the mountain, and the very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people were in the camp trembled. And see what happens here, people. How was the law given? Look what it says. The law was given with trumpet sound, flashes. There was thunder and lightning flashes. And all this is going on. And God gave the law. And now, oh man, the law is it. Look, it came with loudness and thunder. And that's just got to be it. And they all said, "We can do it." How was Abraham's covenant given? There was no thunder. There was no lightning flashing. There was no trumpet sounding. Just given. Just given. The righteous by faith, the righteous live by faith. No big deal. So we don't want that. We want what the trumpet had to sign. All right, let's go to point three. For man to have fellowship with God, he must share the righteousness of God. For the sake of time, and I'm sorry I'm doing that, but I'll give you the verses and you can take a look at them, and I hope you will. For man to have fellowship with God, he must share the righteousness of God. It's taught in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 3, 13. And this is taught in every one of the 10 questions of Job, summarized in, "How can a man be righteous before God?" That's the big issue. How can we be righteous before God? We can't. Point four. God gave the law to condemn all mankind. To show that mankind is condemned, really. It's the best way, or proper way to put it. To show man that he's under condemnation. God gave the law to reveal to every individual that he's unrighteous and under condemnation. God provided the law to condemn. God provided Jesus Christ. to justify. That's why you turn away from Christ. You're without hope. Five, justification is not based on the performance of the law. Galatians 2:16. I do want us to take a moment to look at Galatians 2:16. It's a powerful verse in this study. So you know, you can do all this study and people are still going to say, oh, I've got to do good for God. I've got to be good for God. I've got to do something. Join a church. Repent. Confess. Do something other than just trust in Jesus Christ. Let's look at Galatians 2:16. Verse 15 begins a sentence. We are Jews by nature, by birth, flesh, not sinners among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. This thing of justification and faith goes all the way back to Job. It's all through the Bible, and yet very few people see it. Okay? Not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, I know that you think because he repeats it several times that I wrote that, but I didn't write it. God the Holy Spirit directed this. But you can't make it any clearer. And you can also look at Romans 3:20-28. Point six. The purpose of the law is to curse mankind. Galatians 3:10. The curse of the law is removed only by Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:13. Purpose of the law is to curse mankind. The curse of the law is removed only by Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:13. People, these are simple facts that people find it very difficult to understand. And I hope at camp we teach these things to the children, that at least they understand everything going on. Seven, law produces a righteousness. Law does produce a righteousness, but it is a righteousness that has no credit before God. Remember our study in Romans 3, before God, before Him. This is taught in Philippians 3:9. The law produces a righteousness, but this righteousness has no credit before God. Philippians 3:9. Point 8. The Mosaic law was given first to the Jews and throughout the Old Testament. Many Jews have failed because they tried to be saved by a righteousness produced by the law. They perverted it the moment it was given. We can do that. Romans 9:30-33. Point 8 again, the Mosaic law was given first to the Jews, and the Jews throughout the Old Testament, and many Jews have failed because they tried to be saved by righteousness produced by obeying the law. And finally, point 9, the law cannot provide justification. Only Jesus Christ can justify by faith in Him and faith alone. Okay, that takes care of 19 and 20. Now verses 21 and 22 is going to contrast the law, the righteousness of the law and God's righteousness. And this is where we'll pick it up next Sunday morning. Any questions on this morning? I just hope we made this so clear, and I don't mean to insult any of you. Many of you know these things, but we just need to have the thought process so clearly in our mind that we're not confused when someone says, yeah, but what about, or yeah, what about? No, you got to stay with what's going on in God's thinking and in the whole process of dealing with God. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise You. We praise You, first of all, Father, for making what may seem a little taxing on our thinking, but you made it so clear to us naturally. We saw this in Romans 1. We all know that there is a God, but we don't seek Him. Few seek Him. We reject it and we become wise in our own thinking. And by doing that, we become fools. But you made it so clear and so simple. You want to get into the show, you got to have a ticket. To have a ticket, you got to buy it. But you have no money. Here, I'll give you a ticket. Now you can get into the show. Now you can get into heaven. You made it so clear that a child can understand this. And yet, Father, we live in a time in the world history when very few seek You. But Father, we thank You and we praise You for making this so clear to us. We thank You for putting us under the law that we might see our need of grace, our need of Jesus Christ, not only for salvation, for eternal life, but through every day in our life. We need You, and we need You every hour. And the only way we can walk with You is by faith. We praise You, Father. Father, pray that every person that hears today's lesson in the internet, tapes, whatever it is, Your Spirit will open their eyes to the truth of what's going on. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.